I want to just have another prayer as we enter our sermon time. Lord, we just ask for You to be here with us and to take truths that we've sometimes neglected and help us to see how they practically affect us today. These things we ask in Your precious name. Amen. How do I find wholeness or balance? What does it take to find it in my life? You know, sometimes we miss balance. It had been a good day. Shelley was on her little vacation working in California, and Jalynn and I were batching it together. And with that, I'd taken Jalynn to lunch, and that was time for supper, and we decided that other than the other days, we should actually go home and cook something instead of going out. So we looked to buy something at one of the stores, and we were there, and Jalynn had a suggestion after our treat for lunch. She had a suggestion for supper. She held the suggestion up and said, what about this for supper? And I said, honey, we have to have a balanced diet. And she figured out how to do that. Sometimes that is the balance that we want in life, right? We put the balance in and we just put it not quite the right way. And I think that happens with us. Somebody said a balanced diet is light and dark chocolate mixed together. We put our lives together and look for the things that balance. And sometimes we miss the most important things to balance out our lives. He had come in to the crowd trying not to be noticed. He dressed in clothes that wouldn't give away his position or his wealth. He wanted to fit in with the farmers and the merchants and those who had gathered together as families to listen to Jesus. And he pressed close with them. Jesus was sitting on the hill on a rock among grasses that had been eaten low. And there were rocks standing up beside them. And all along them, people gathered close to hear Jesus. It was then that he recognized he'd watched and listened for every word that somehow he might catch Jesus. That Jesus would say something that would betray himself to be a heretic, or that he would divulge that he was a charlatan pretending to be something he really wasn't. This man had gathered close as a spy for the Sanhedrin to help them to know what it was that Jesus was teaching and to catch him in the very act. And as the more he sat and listened, the more he recognized that he himself was being affected positively by what Jesus was saying. He was being drawn to Jesus. In the midst of Jesus' teaching, a group of women made their way through the crowd up toward Jesus where he was sitting there on the rock, and they pushed the children kind of close, but the disciples did what they were supposed to do. Protect him from the trivial, the mundane, and help him to carry on his teaching. You don't interrupt a teacher or a professor in the midst of his talk. Jesus, out of the corner of his eye, catches the disciples holding them back and says, wait, no. Don't keep them back. Bring the little ones to me. Don't forbid them. And you can imagine, as soon as one of them is released, the two of the boys go and one throws himself over the top of Jesus using like a jungle gym, and the other one pulling himself, and Jesus is moving, and the little girl kind of shyly comes up behind and offers him a flower, and he reaches down and takes it. Tosses the hair of a little boy and pulls another up on his lap, and he says, This is the kingdom of God. Unless someone becomes like one of these little ones, they shall not enter the kingdom. Suddenly there's something inside of this rich young ruler that draws him. He begins to realize there's something he's missing. Just as those children were drawn and compelled to come to Christ, he felt a drawing within himself. We often miss the context of the story of the rich young ruler. It is after this experience where Jesus has been drawn into the center of the children, and after he's ministered to the children, after the children come in seeking him, that he then walks away. This rich young ruler realizing that Jesus isn't the one who's been pretending, but it's he who's been pretending. Pretending that everything's all right. Pretending that his religion is enough. Pretending as if there's no spiritual impact that needs to be had in his life, as if he is the one who's going to change people's lives. How do I find balance in my life and wholeness? How does it work out? The first thing to realize that I lack it. And this rich young ruler this man from the Sanhedrin forgot his position. And he stood up and ran after Jesus. Mark 10, he ran after Jesus. Nicodemus, even though he wanted to find Jesus, would only go at night so no one else would notice. But this rich young ruler forgot himself in his pursuit of Christ because he was lacking something. And in front of all who were there, he threw himself before him and said, "What do I lack that I might have eternal life? Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus says, "Why do you call me good? There's none good except for God." I think maybe if the rich young ruler were listening closely, he would find a little bit about how he was trying to earn his way to heaven. None's good except for God. There's only one place he's going to find goodness, not in himself. Not one more thing that can add to his load to make him good. There's only one good, that's God. "Why do you call me good?" And then, not waiting for the answer, he goes on and says, "You know the commandments. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Do not lie or cheat. Honor your parents. All these, sir, I've kept since I was the age of the children you just talked about." And he says, "One thing you lack. Go, sell all your possessions and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. One thing you lack. Go sell all you possess." How do I find balance or wholeness? The first step is to recognize that I lack something. Before I understand that I'm lacking something, I'm not going to seek after it. Isn't that true? If you don't realize you have a need, you don't look for it. I have to first come to the understanding that there's something missing in my life. There has to be a longing that's opened in my heart that I have to realize I have to step outside of myself because I don't have everything I need. And in America, that's really hard. Because we seem to have almost everything we really need and lots of things we just want. And some things we just have to stack in our garage. Some things we're hoping somebody will steal. Got too much. Cheaper to have them steal it than pay somebody to haul it off. It's a society where we don't lack. One thing you lack. It's hard to recognize that we lack something. We're shocked almost at the thought. But Jesus had said that that's the society at the end. They don't even recognize they lack. He speaks to the church of Laodicea and says, "You say I am rich and wealthy and have no need of anything. And they do not know that they are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." The first step in achieving balance in our life that God calls for, the first step in getting wholeness is recognizing that I lack in myself what it takes to be whole. That I can't be whole on my own. That I can't achieve it through my own desire or effort or power. That it's not within my realm. How do I become whole? The first thing is to realize that I lack. The second thing is to find what I lack. To go looking for what it is I'm missing. And some of us are missing some important things, aren't we? Looking for shopping, for saying, what is it that I'm missing? Where will I find the emptiness? Jesus didn't tell him that he lacked everything, did he? Help me out there. Jesus didn't tell him that he lacked everything, did he? Didn't this rich young ruler have some things going right? We must realize that there are some things that we have going right. We can't throw out everything. Some of the things that God's given us, we should hold on to while we're looking for the thing that we lack. There are some things that we need to grasp a hold of and hold tightly, even while we're looking for the thing which we lack. This rich young ruler had some things that were right. He had a commitment that he wanted to follow God. He wanted to do right. He held on to something that was there. He was pursuing so much that he would live a moral life in front of others. That's something that we need to hold on to, isn't it? I know the first time that the concept of grace struck my mind, as I was reading through, and it occurred to me that Jesus loved me no matter what I did. That God would forgive me no matter how far I'd fallen away from Him. The first response is, so skip the law. Skip living morally. I'm free. I'm free to not worry about how to live. The rich young ruler needed something that he was missing desperately, but he didn't need to leave his following of God's plans of righteousness. He needed the source of righteousness. I thought I'd hear an amen. It's late, but it's good. The reality is, when you look and say, what am I missing inside? What is at the depth of my core, what am I missing? I'm living in the form. He needed an intimacy with God. He needed to find the love of God. He'd found the rules of righteousness, but he needed to find the source of righteousness. One thing you lack, he says, to come follow me. Jesus had said that to the Pharisees all along. They'd missed what they were holding on to. But he told them, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others. It didn't say you should stop doing those things. He said, you should have done these things without neglecting the weighty things of the law, the things that are really essential. We don't have to say, I lack something, I'm going to throw away everything I have. One of the things that we do is recognize we need to move forward and take what we've got, what God's already given us, and move forward with it. Pendulum sometimes swings, doesn't it? We realize over here that we're lacking something desperately, and so we rush to the other side. Haven't you seen people like that? I've seen people who lacked a relationship with God, and they ran over and grabbed that relationship with God. Praise the Lord. Then they felt like they were lacking some things in the world, and they rushed over that direction. I've seen people who've gone back and forth in lots of different areas. I've seen people who've done that and diet, haven't you? Haven't you done it yourself? I'm going to diet. Okay, I've lost my weight, I'm going to eat. Got too fat? Oh, got to diet. Right? Sometimes we need the balance of holding them in tension instead of looking to both sides and swinging the pendulum one way or the other, going from one extreme to the other. I've seen people go to extremes. I've seen them go to this extreme and say, I have grace in such a way that I no longer need to follow God's plan for life. I no longer need the law. I no longer need His Word. I'm in a close relationship with Him, I've heard them say, and I don't need those things. I just have this experience with God. Don't instruct me, Lord. I don't need that. I've had others who just say, it's the Word, it's the plan, it's the rule. And they hold that as the things that are solid in their life, and those things are what they're living by, not by grace. There are two extremes. There are ditches on both sides of the road, even the narrow road. How do I find balance? Realize we do not lack all the same thing. If you were at our hobo party, you realize there were some lackings there. Not everybody lacked the same thing, though. And it's true in our spiritual life, we don't all lack the same thing. I look at this story and it said, what did he tell the rich young ruler? Go sell all your possessions and give to the poor. But did he give that same prescription to everyone? Did he give the same prescription to Abraham? Joseph of Arimathea? Job? Were they told that they had to get rid of all their riches? No. I step back and say, sometimes what I need to be balanced in my life isn't the same thing you need. You may need just the opposite thing to be balanced in your life. You may have all the concepts of grace moving fully in your life, and you need to recognize how to put them into practice so that you're living that grace in your life. Jesus gives those kinds of prescriptions in His Word. I like how He speaks to different people with different needs. Like a doctor. A doctor wouldn't give the same prescription for everybody. Would they, stewards? Same prescription? You just have a pad on your desk that has a prescription. You just rip one off and just give the next one. It's the same prescription. You just give it to everybody who walks in the door. No, you look at what their need is. You look at what their problem is and you diagnose it. Scripture does something similar. In Romans 4:3, Jesus, through the prophet Paul, writes to a group who are stuck on rules and the law. And he says, for what does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And he holds that up to say, it's through faith that you believe and hold on to. In James, to a group who've lost that passion of living the life and feel like all they have to do is hold on to Jesus, they say, you see that faith was working in His works. And as a result, the works, faith was perfected. And the Scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Both of those use the same text to move people on different sides to the center. To say, don't you understand? Abraham, he lived his life. And how he did it, he followed God with his actions. Abraham, don't you understand? The only way that he did that was through faith. Even using the same illustration to appeal to them from different avenues to get balance in their life. Our temperaments differ. And because our temperaments differ, things happen in our life that are different. You want to know how this applies? If you're looking for balance in your life, and you're a sanguine person, you may just be looking for another party to go to. You may be looking for the things in Scripture that tells you that life is a game and you just need to play it. If you're a choleric, you may be looking at the rules and saying, what is it that I have to do? What is that God's the duty is requiring me to do? Where is God saying that I have to act this next hour? If you're phlegmatic, you may just be sitting down and saying, it doesn't matter. Balance is achieved differently. Some of us lack more than one thing. I looked and he said, one thing you lack. If Jesus would have come to me and looked at me, he said, if you want balance, there are a few things you need. Let me go down the list. Have you felt like that? How do I find balance or wholeness in my life? I spend time in God's Word because it gives us balance. Not just a part of the Word, but all of God's Word. As a Christian, what are you reading to find balance? Do you find yourself gravitating just to the gospel stories? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, reading just those? Not getting into the counsel, the heavy counsel, the specific counsel that Paul gives through the epistles? Not going back to the Old Testament that grounds us in? Do you find yourself narrow in what you read? I believe God gave us more than just one verse because He wanted us to achieve balance and He needed us to see the whole balance of His Word. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. God wants us to find balance, to see blessings that are given there. To recognize that there are blessings and cursings that are opened up in Scripture, that there are warnings for things that we shouldn't do and comfort for when we've done the wrong thing, that God put together there not only the challenges for how we should live, but the hope of reward for how we can look for the future. God's put both together. How do I find balance and wholeness? Be willing to hold some things in tension. It's not either or, but both and. Isn't it true? Most of the heresies that you'll find throughout history have been achieved because people do either or instead of both and. For example, the nature of Christ. They do either Christ was human or Christ was divine. And when you take those, you become distorted in your perception. You can say that He was human in such a way that He was sinful. He had no divinity about Him. He was just like us, and therefore He needed a Savior. Or you come to the other extent and say He was divine, so much so that He didn't have compassion to experience what we go through, because He really wasn't that human. You have to have both end to have the balance that Scripture calls us for. Looking at what that means, it means that we have law and grace as part of the Christian walk. You want to look at heresy? Find people stressing just one side or the other without balance, and you'll find that there is heresy. Justice and mercy. Living for God and living in our culture. Didn't He call us to do both? God is present in us now, and yet there's a sense in which He's not yet present. Justification and sanctification, and you find people stressing one or the other, they become unbalanced. Looking at how we perform with God in us, or not recognizing that we don't have salvation that's been accomplished by God. There's unbalance when we don't understand our identity and realize that on both sides we're unworthy sinners, and at the same time we're holy children of God. And that's a tension to have both of those there, isn't it? And if you find if people lean to one side or the other, the more they lean, the more they're out of balance in their life. To not recognize that they're sinners, or to not recognize that they have an identity that they belong as God's children. to die to self and to be able to love self enough that they can love their neighbor as themselves. To be called the salt of the earth. That is, that we need to go and mix and make a difference among others, that we should be out there. Or that we should be a fortress protecting ourselves. Aren't there balances that we need to obtain in our lives? God put balance there by putting both sides. And what happens when we neglect one or the other and refuse to hold in tension both sides, we become unbalanced. You want to know why there are heritage versions of almost every church? Because they've held unbalance. You want to know why some people break away and follow a different theology? It's because they lack balance. It's when you take truth and put it together and are able to hold even things that seem in opposition and tension that you achieve the balance that God intends. Enjoying the world God has given and living for a world to come. Hard balance in our society. How do I find balance or wholeness? Observe others who are living in balance. And it may be hard to find them. I look at people like Daniel and see his life and say, he lived in balance. This was a man who lived in a society and culture that was totally heathen and godless. And yet he was willing to become a part of that society. He was willing to take a name upon himself that actually was attributed to a foreign deity. He was willing to be part of the government and the upper echelons and earn his living in politics. And at the same time, Daniel, somebody who would not compromise, who would stand for truth, who would appeal even for a little thing like his diet so it didn't matter what other people thought, who would stand boldly for God and pray no matter whether everyone saw him or if it cost him his life. Now that's balance. Full commitment to God. Living in a culture that was not God's. And being able to hold both in tension. How do I find balance or wholeness? Sometimes it's by observing those who are living unbalanced lives. You may recognize some of those things. Realize that sometimes we miss the goal and by living unbalanced lives, we reflect to others untruth about who God is. When we don't hold balance in our life, we watch their lives and watch what they do. They begin to become critical of others because they aren't fully understanding things their way. You'll find that many of the groups that pull away end up pulling collections of texts or writings and publish them that give their slant without giving a balanced perspective. Why? Because they're not wanting to achieve balance. They're wanting everybody to move their direction. And they judge others depending on whether or not they understand from their standpoint. You can see it in almost every area. You can see it in dress, in entertainment, in worship style. All of those areas, as you look, people begin to try to sort out and say, where's balance? What is it that incorporates all of those things? Sometimes people mistake balance for compromise. Galatians 5:12, to a group who were using the old Jewish rules as a means of putting people down, said, I wish those who are troubling would even mutilate themselves. You have to understand that he was speaking to a group who was trying to support circumcision to the Gentiles that were coming in, and he used that to say they've missed the real point that God has. How do I find balance and wholeness? By never accepting evil as part of that balance. There's a yin-yang concept that's even prevalent in today's society as Eastern religions are being picked up, that somehow we have to have evil for good to be promoted. And I've even heard that being carried into Christianity, that God allowed sin to come up in order that He could show His righteousness, and had there not been sin, there wouldn't be righteousness. I believe that's false. Sin, darkness, is the absence of light. Darkness is the absence of light. Sin is the lack of righteousness. God didn't need sin in order to show His grace and righteousness. It's there as part of His character and nature. We never need to incorporate evil in order to achieve balance. Romans 6:1-2 says it this way, What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. After opening up the concept of grace, some said, well, if there's that much grace and it's poured on the sinner, then maybe we should sin a little bit more so God can show us His grace a little bit more. The response, God forbid that it should happen that way. How do I find wholeness? Stay open with godly friends, because they can often help us to remove the layer of rationalization that we use for ourselves. If you looked at your life, is it balanced? Maybe call to yourself some friends who you see also have a spiritual walk and ask them about what they see in your life that may be out of balance. Proverbs 11:14 says, where there is no guidance, the people fall, but in abundance of counselors, there's victory. I believe God put us together as a church to help achieve balance so that each person with their perspective and can come together in God's body and help us to not move in the wrong direction. Praise the Lord for His church to support us in the right path that God's called us to. How do I find balance or wholeness? In Mark 10:21, it says, one thing you lack, go sell all you possess and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Jesus says to follow me. If there's somebody that I can see who has a perfect life of balance, it's Christ. Quite honestly, those on the ultra-conservative side would have counted them as a liberal, and those on the ultra-liberal side would have counted them as a conservative. That's usually how it goes for those who live in the middle of the road. Jesus would have been considered a liberal by many. Liberal because He was unlike John the Baptist. He didn't wear special clothes. He didn't set Himself apart in the desert. And if you're interested in looking at John the Baptist, you may have misunderstood his perspective too. You might read Desire of Ages on how John the Baptist's time in the desert was spent and whether it really was all spent there or whether he mixed as well. Looking at Jesus, they said he incorporates Himself with the people. He's kind of loose in the way He lives. He doesn't hold to what we profess to be truth. He steps outside of the box. I suppose those who looked at Him today might have said, Jesus wore a robe. He's sort of like trying Himself to be a woman instead of wearing the clothes like we're supposed to wear today to distinguish men from women, if you know what I'm saying. If they looked at Jesus, they would have said He was a liberal because He talked to a Samaritan, talked to a woman, called the children to Him and counted Him as valuable. Because he spent time caring for people, even if they would look at Him and say that maybe he was not doing what He should have because He allowed a woman to let down her hair who was a prostitute and wash His feet and counted Him liberal for even letting her be in His presence. They would have probably counted Him as liberal because He wasn't always as serious as they thought. He took time to spend even His life at parties at times, found Himself there, parties after multiple days. Found Himself spending time with children. And even worse, gave people who were sinners forgiveness. People who knowingly turned against God. He opened His arms to them to come back. Gave them a second chance. He reached outside of the church and brought people to God. He shook up the thinking about God by demonstrating pure love. And for that, they would have labeled Him as a liberal instead of moving toward Him in balance. On the other side, the liberals were pretty shook up too, I suppose, because they must have seen Him as an arch-conservative. As He moved in and said that things couldn't stand the way that they had compromised in His church, that they were now selling in His church, and he called for things to be changed. And He turned over the tables and said, stop making My Father's house a house or a den of thieves. They must have been shocked that Jesus would call sin, sin, and that He would step even further than the religious authorities required, that He would go the second mile. That He would come back and repeat the things from the Old Testament and call them back to the Bible. That He would go to church, and even when it was corrupt, count church the place to be. It must have counted him as an ultra-conservative in his extreme devotion that he would pull away and spend time with just him and God over and over and over again. That he relied completely on the Father. They must count him as an arch-conservative in the fact that he wouldn't be turned back even when it cost him everything. They might have counted him as an extreme traditionalist by upholding the fact that he still believed there was a God and a God that brought life to the point of resurrection. But Christ was both. And he held them both in tension in a perfect way. That he could show compassion and uphold the law and say, neither do I condemn you, which they would have counted as liberal, and then turn around and say, and go and sin no more, which was conservative. He did both. And maybe in our lives, we need to ask ourselves, are we balanced? And when people don't fit our perspective, do we say, let's write them off? Or maybe what they need and we need is to spend time together to talk about those very spiritual concepts that we might be more like Him. That we might be transformed together in His presence as we join together to talk about right and wrong and truth and how it all fits. I praise the Lord for the example of the balanced life. And I want to do what He said. I want to come and follow Him to find the things that I lack in my life to be like Him. Don't you? Greatest of faithfulness, O God my Father, there is no shadow of turning with Thee. He doesn't change. He's the same because He has the perfect balance. Let's stand together as we sing our closing song. Let's pray. God, You are faithful to fill our lack, to call us into balance, to help us to recognize, Lord, that we need Your fullness to be whole ourselves. Help us to do what's necessary, Lord, in our lives to be willing to be balanced. May we find in following You the fullness we desire. In Christ's name, amen.